We have a granny pack who's been campaigning for some time now, and now she's got a few things to say. So can we have a nice warm welcome for Red Granny Pack?
Now, I'm the infamous Geordie Grandma, who doesn't talk anything other than straight talk, much to the horror of the police in our area. So I'm going to ask you all a question. Are there any policemen in here today? Anybody? Well, I'll just warn you, if you're sitting there in disguise, you're about to be exposed to the general public. You know, I have been raided 3 times in 18 months. My son's over here, and if you care to ask him afterwards, he'll tell you that when he was about 17, he came to the house with 2 or 3 of his friends to watch a game of rugby or football. I made a curry, and they were all sitting around eating this curry, waiting for the football match to start. Well, one of them said something about drugs being sold at the high school. And I turned around to my son, and I apologised for this, Colin, in front of your friends. But I turned around to my son and I said, drugs? What kind of drugs? Because I only knew what I heard on the radio or on television. He said, well, you can buy cannabis. I said, well, who's selling it? And I looked at Colin and I said, if you ever buy cannabis, I catch you with drugs on you, I will personally take you to the police station. Do you remember? And then, 8 years later, he was sitting in a restaurant in London with some of his friends having dinner when his phone went, his mobile phone. And it was the police station at Hexham saying, we've got your mother in a cell. She was growing 31 plants in the roof of the house. So you see, the tables were turned, and although Colin and I are very honest with each other, I feel this deserves an apology in public, because I think it was about one of the few times I ever humiliated him in public by threatening him that I would take him to the police station if I ever found him with cannabis. But this month, well, next week, I'm going for the pre-court case plan to put in my plea, and the reason why I was caught with cannabis again. 4 plants which had all been ruined by a male plant. All these 4 beautiful female plants which were covered in bird had been ruined by this wicked male plant. And they were about to be cut down. But I thought, oh, I'll leave it until tomorrow. Oh, I wish I hadn't, because the police came. So I had the 4 plants, 3 tiny little cuttings, and, oh, about a teaspoon of powdered cannabis, which is what I use in my cooking. Now, when they came, I was rather indignant. And they took me off to the police station, and I thought, oh, I've got to just tell them the plain and varnished truth. And he said, why were you going? Solicitor was called for. Why were you growing 4 plants? And why did you have a teaspoon full of cannabis in a bag? I said, because the last time I was in court, last April, I was given the proud honour of having the recorder, who is the most senior judge in the north of England, preside over my case. And to have the recorder preside over your case, you feel as if it's something important. I think they thought I was Al-Qaeda's mother, and that I was buying and selling cannabis and eating it and putting it into little parcels to help Al-Qaeda. And when I went into the court, he was rude, pointed his finger at me. He took one look at me and he ordered the court to go out and get another 3 policemen so I could have one on either side of me. Can you imagine this little Malteser dumpling sitting in a chair who had one little officer on the left, but within 5 minutes of the judge coming in, I had one on either side. What was I going to do? Karate? Anyhow, he looked at me and he pointed his finger at me before the case started and he said, "You have been playing the media game. And I have seen you on television delivering boxes of food to pensioners. You are trying to encourage the people in this country to medicate with cannabis." And I thought, this is a judge. This is the judicial British system of fairness, democracy. I don't think there's such a word, you know. I think Russian sent into us. Or maybe Hitler sent it in a letter to the Queen during the Second World War. Where is the democracy? Isn't the judge supposed to sit there and be impartial until he hears all the facts? But being granny, I just sat and smiled at him. I mainly sat and smiled because my son had let me have a couple of puffs on a cigarette, and I never normally do it. And I was a bit useless at the time. But at the end of the case, oh, he ordered me to be locked up in the cell halfway through when he wanted to make his decision. And I mean, do I have horns on the top of my head? You know, have I got a swastika on my back? So as he decided to go out and deliver the sentence, decide on the sentence, he said, "I'm taking 30 minutes. Lock her in a cell." My son, who was in the audience, the thing with all the visitors, immediately jumped up. And then I saw Rob pull him down very quickly. When he came back, he said, "Have you got anything to say to my barrister?" And my barrister said, "Yes. Mrs. Tabram has informed me to ask me to inform the court that no matter what sentence you give her today, she will never ever give up medicating with cannabis because she is terrified of pharmaceutical synthetic medication which is given to us through our GPs, hospitals and chemist shops." So he sentenced me. Oh no, he didn't. After he'd said that, he immediately turned and said, "Okay, just don't give it to anyone else." Now, I didn't even know what the sentence was. I was so fascinated at having a judge point his finger at me and say, "Okay, just don't give it to anyone else." Remember this statement? No matter what sentence I get today, I will never give up medicating with cannabis. And that was the reply. "Okay, just don't give it to anyone else." That was telling me I could go on using it, wasn't it? And that's my defence via the Human Rights Act. And it's been through the officials and the members of the LCA that I was given all this information because I didn't know all about the Human Rights Act of 1998. But through that, I have chosen four areas for my defence. Because we're being tortured and constantly told that we can no longer use medical necessity. In actual fact, Don Bernard has given me a letter that he got from Charles Clark saying, "Dear Don." But it says that the defence of medical necessity is not finished. It was only didn't apply to the five people who took it to the House of Lords. We can still use it, but the judge will still advise the jury to say there is no medical necessity. But I've got a letter from Don and I'm going to waive it in the court. But I've chosen four lines of defence. One is privacy to do what I want in my own home, which is the Human Rights Act, Article 8. Number two, the right to freedom of thought, conscience and religion. Again, the Human Rights Act, Article 9. The right to a fair trial. And in my eyes, a fair trial means telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's in the Human Rights Act, Article 6. Freedom of expression is my fourth plea, reason why I'm going to plead not guilty. I have the right to freedom of expression, even though this is no longer a democratic country. Number five, I will prove medical necessity through duress of circumstances brought by the Hexham police. Now, it's quite forbidding for this to happen to you when you're 67. Remember, I didn't become a legal criminal until I was 65. So I've only been at it 2 years. But I am going to stand up and say, not guilty. But I need your help. I'll tell you what I need your help for. Are there any reporters here? No? It's a shame the guy from CC News isn't here. But knowing that the judge told me, okay, just don't give it to anyone else, as I walked out of the court, I thought, that's great. That means I can go on medicating. Because I powder the cannabis bud in an electric mixer and I use it very sparingly on my 5 meals a day, every other day. Because I found after a period of 2 years, I don't need to take it every day. And it's saving me money. But going to court like this is a little bit daunting. And as I was walking out, I thought, that's it. So I'm going to. But what do I do? Do I go to a dealer to get it? Or do I grow my own? Well, unfortunately, I was grassed up by a cocaine dealer the first time. I hadn't bought cannabis off him, but he had found out by sheer accident about my growing plants. And he went to the police. And about a month after the case, I was in the street going to my car. And there were three witnesses in the street. When this cocaine dealer turned around, lost his temper, he was on a downer, and he said that he was the one that had grassed me up. And that he got paid for giving the names of cocaine, of cannabis users to the police. After going round and round asking about this, I discovered that the police will approach anyone who deals in heroin or cocaine, amphetamines, ecstasy, crystal meths, Valium, you name it, any of the drugs that kill. If you sell those drugs, the police will offer you a careful immunity from prosecution if you will supply them with two names and addresses every week. They pay for it out of our council tax funding, because that's what every police station gets in their own town. Is council tax money is used to fund the police. And do you really like the idea that drug dealers who are dealing in all the drugs that kill people are getting paid by the police to give them the names and addresses of two cannabis users? Nobody can die from an overdose of cannabis. Nobody. But they can all die from an overdose of heroin, cocaine, amphetamines, ecstasy, the lot. So there's something unjust going on here. So last year, I was very lucky to be invited to the Home Office conference on the 30th of November and the 1st of December. Were you there? Yes. And there was about 14 or 15 of us got the opportunity to ask a question. And I was quite bemused when I asked a question, because suddenly the whole hall burst out into applause. And I couldn't understand why, because I hadn't asked a question, a terribly intellectual question. But it gave me the opportunity, because I never got a good, intelligent answer from the MP. And it gave John Snow, who was running it, the opportunity to invite me to go and speak to Vic Hogg, who's the head of the drugs department of the Home Office. And I had a half an hour talk to him afterwards, and I spoke to him about the cannabis issue, that, you know, prohibition, the prohibition of cannabis is what irritates, is what has made me famous in the media and one thing and another. I'm now going to be installed in a museum in September in Ashington. There's a movie being made by a Canadian company together with a British company for Channel 5, but it's also going to be sold worldwide, about the grandma who eats cannabis. There's also a play being written at the moment. It's all quite silly. And I said to someone, to Colin, I said, you know, why? Why am I being made famous? He said, it's prohibition that's made you famous. The police don't like me being famous. They hate it. The judges hate it because I go to the media. But it's prohibition to blame, because prohibition doesn't have anyone. But what I want to ask you today is, you'll all know people who use cannabis. You'll all know people who enjoy it. I personally think everybody uses it for medicinal purposes, because I don't think there's anyone in the world who doesn't suffer from stress today. Stress because a relationship's breaking, or they're frightened of losing their job, or they haven't got enough money to pay the phone bill, or they're just not feeling well, but they're going to take a day off work, or they lose their job. So I think everybody who uses it is stressed. And therefore, in my eyes, they should just do what they do in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, 10 states in America, Spain, and Holland. They should allow every householder to grow up to 5 plants. If you really enjoy cannabis and you use it for medicinal reasons, which is the reason I use it, then you grow your own plants. You'll never, very rarely, go to a doctor's surgery. You certainly won't have to go into hospital to have an operation for the side effects of medication. You'll certainly never suffer from psychosis, because people get psychosis from any medication, because 60% of it causes psychosis. 60% of all medication causes hallucinations, delusions, depression, and suicidal tendencies. And 1 in 4 of all the people who suffer from that eventually commit suicide. These are government figures. These notices about this can be found in the universities, but the government won't talk to the general public about it. And they know that students don't take a lot of notice of it. So if you want to help me, to help each other, to help the LCA, to help to get prohibition stopped, this is what we need. I don't know where you all get your cannabis from. I tried growing mine, got caught. Tried buying it off people, was afraid. And now it's friends who get it for me. And I trust my friends. But if you know any dealers, or you know any police officers, start cozying up to them. Let's face it, they have notices in the police station telling everyone to rat on a rat. I learned that today from Steve. But the notices in the police stations are all saying, there's a picture of a rat, rat on a rat, phone the police and we'll get them.
Cash and water, don't forget that part.
Well, the thing is, if you know a drug dealer, for goodness sake, don't buy your cannabis from them. Not if they sell heroin, cocaine, amphetamines and the rest. Because if you're just a cannabis user, that's it. Rat on a rat. We won't tell you how it managed to disappear from the police station. Won't we not, Steve? We have it as proof. But if you know a police officer, usually police officers are quite friendly with us, but don't get your cannabis from a drug dealer, because it is 10 to 1. He's being paid out of our council tax money, and he's being protected from prosecution for giving 2 names a week of cannabis users. Now, the difficulty I have, if I can manage to slip this into my case when I go next week, is that I have no proof. I don't have recorded proof. I don't have written proof. The only proof I have is that I am notorious for being down to earth and saying it as it is. Now, you, if you cozy up to a police officer, and all I said to him was, why? Why do the police pay drug dealers to dob in cannabis users? And the answer from the female officer in the Hexham was, we've always done it. They've done it for years. One sergeant, who I asked about it, the last time I was in, I asked to see him, and he went. And we went in the little office, and I said, "Tell me, sergeant, why do you pay cocaine and heroin dealers to give you the names, our names, and have the cheek to use our council tax money to pay them once a month up to £160?" I'd asked him that question about 20 times in the last 18 months. And this was the first time. It was only a matter of weeks ago. This is the first time he looked and he says, "Oh, Granny Pat," he said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "But we've always done it." And that was a genuinely nice guy. I met somebody with the same name as him today. And he said, it's beginning to turn my stomach. He said, "But there's nothing I can do about it. It's the way we work." I've had a letter from Vic Hogg at the Home Office, because I don't pussyfoot around, even with Vic Hogg. I sent him a report. That was it. It's about 14 pages long. I sent a letter to Vic Hogg. Most of it was about how you get psychosis from medicine. This is my research work on medicine. He sent me a letter. Now, there's one, the front page. There's the second page. Where is it? Let me see. There's the second page. And there's the third page. That's all about the psychosis you get from modern medication and why aren't the public warned about it. We get to the end of the letter. And I want you to listen very carefully. And if you don't agree with me, say, "Pat, you're wrong." But if you do agree with me, say, "Get in there." Okay. "I note the points you raise relating to the Northumbria police, but I regret that I am unable to respond to them. Given the impending court case, many of the issues you raise have to be regarded as sub judice, whilst others are operational in nature, and therefore a matter for the Chief Constable, to whom I am therefore copying this correspondence." Now, this is where I want to know whether you agree with me or you. Believe me, I ain't going to hit nobody. I believe that when he says, "whilst others are operational in nature," he could only have been talking about the police with regards to my complaint that they are doing something illegal in using local council taxpayers' money to protect serious drug dealers from prosecution and paying them up to £160 a month. Do you think that's what it sounds like? Yeah. It does, doesn't it? Now, what I need is I need for people who have contacts, either in the serious drug world, the drugs that kill people, as against cannabis, which is a herb and doesn't kill anybody.
It's quite serious, though.
Yes. And I want you, if you can get a policeman just in casual conversation to say, "Why is it the police pay drug, you know, cocaine dealers to dob in cannabis users?" If you get them to say, "Well, we've always done it," which is what happened to me. I met two policemen in London, two up in Hexham and one in Hull when I was on a march in Hull. If you can get it, someone to admit it. And better still, if you know a drug dealer that you used to buy your cannabis from, get into conversation with him and say, "You know, I'm thinking of becoming a drug dealer, but not in your town, in my grandmother's town. And I believe the police will pay me if I'll dob in the cannabis users." And if the drug dealers are on a high, he might admit it. And if he admits it, do you think he thinks twice about dobbing you in? If you go to a drug dealer, twice about phoning the police and saying, "I've got another for you, will I still get £960 at the end of the month?" I want you to write a letter, and I want you to write the letter to Charles Clark, who's the head of Home Office, just saying, "Within the last 3 days I have spoken to a policeman and he told me this, and I've spoken to a cocaine and heroin drug dealer and he told me this." You don't have to give their names if you don't want to, but you have to let them know that if you start getting the kind of evidence I'm getting, There is more than one person in the Cannabis Association. If you, any of them, let rip, why? Why? I want to know. Are drug dealers dealing in dangerous drugs which are killing people and making them addicted? Why are they being protected from prosecution and being paid £160 a month for giving the name of two cannabis users a week? This is wrong. The head of the police department in the Home Office, on the same day of the conference, turned round to me. He said, "Are you sure of that?" I said, "Yes." He said, "But that's illegal. The police are not allowed to do that." I said, "Well, will you do something about it?" But you've heard Vic Hogg's reply. He doesn't want to do anything about it. He said, "It's police procedure. Are you prepared to accept it? Do you think it's fair?" I don't think it's fair.
Sorry, can I just get that right? Because I need to write that. Vic Hogg said it's police procedure when you told him that.
Yes. Oh, no, he wrote that in the letter. I've got the letter. He wrote that in the letter.
Word by word, it was an issue that's operational in nature.
Operational in nature.
But that's the same.
So the thing is, if you want to really be a part of the LCA the way I feel a part, I turned to Alan, I turned to Don, I turned to Steve, I turned to Andy, I turned to Chris, because I know I need help and advice, I know I need knowledge, and they have helped me, they've given me the knowledge. They've sent me so much material through the emails that I've got a great big case. This is my case. I've got a great big case against the judge, because guess who told me I could go on using it? It was the judge. And the only thing that I'm debating about is whether I've got the courage to actually tell the judge that as I walked away from the court, I thought, well, I'll have to grow it. I daren't go to a drug dealer because the police are playing drug dealers, because that might get me into some trouble. But if they get letters from different places all over the country, and it can be this month, next month, it can be December, but please send those letters in. But primarily send one to Alan and Dunn, because if they have a record of it, they can use it. And the letter and the report I'm going to be sending to Vic Hogg next week, I'm sending a copy through the email to Alan and Don. We're here not just to look after ourselves, because I'm 67. I'm not going to benefit very much from the decriminalisation of cannabis. But my son and his friends, your children, your brothers and sisters, your neighbours, your closest friends, they're going to have a life of peace. They're not going to be made into criminals at the age of 17, 18, 19 and 20. Why should they be made criminals? For using a herb which for 13,000 years was the main source of medicine, food and household equipment, including clothing. It was used, did everything for us for 13,000 years. We were healthy, we were happy, we worked hard, we didn't get much money, but it worked. The present system is not going to work. Prohibition has made me famous, but all it's done is made me determined to stick out the fight and make it really tough on the judges. And I have got to appear as if it doesn't bother me one iota. But you can help. Please, nurture the friendship of a policeman. Get him to admit they've always done it. Nurture a friendship with a drug dealer and get him to admit it's happening. I know it's happening all over England. Two policemen told me in London when I was on a march. I just looked at them and I said, "How's the march going?" "Oh, cannabis marches are always great. Nobody's any trouble, never any fighting, never any bother." I said, "Well, why is it that you pay drug dealers to dob us in?" "Oh," he says, "we've always done it." That's what they say all the time. "We've always done it." Please, okay. Send your letters in, okay?
No, not yet. There's one more speaker. One more speaker, and then it goes to this one. I think you want to say a word.